This is Aubrey Brunken with yet another edition of the Brunken Weekly Report and Podcast, where we take a closer look at life, what it is and what it is not, and how you can live a better quality, dynamic, and relevant life by making the right decisions at the right time. If you want a different perspective on life when it comes to the geopolitical, economic, social, religious, and other trends and movements, then you are at the right place. Please note that what I'm about to share is my personal view and understanding of the topic discussed, so treat it as such. For additional resources or to subscribe to the Brunken Weekly Report and Podcast, visit brunken.net, that is brunken.net. I want us to take a look at faith. If I look at what is going on at the moment and what God is busy doing, I truly believe that God is challenging us as believers to really step into a deeper dimension when it comes to our faith walk with God. Because it's very easy, and this is what we need to understand, and I say this often, Christianity is not so much about rules and regulations and trying to live a Christian life. Christianity is all about surrendering your life to the control of the Lord and allowing God to live in and through you by means of the Holy Spirit. The scripture says to us that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So the goal of Christianity is not religion. I have to stress that. The goal of what Jesus came to establish on the earth is not religion. He came to establish relationship. And he came to open a door and the pathway so that we can live in a personal relationship with him, trusting him with all of our hearts. That's what Jesus came to do. He did not come to establish a system where we can get together on Sundays, do certain things, sing a couple of hallelujah songs, read the Bible every now and then. That's not what Jesus came to establish. He didn't come to establish a religious system. He came to establish a relational lifestyle. Now, it might sound very simple, but it's one of the greatest traps that so many Christians step into. And that is making what is supposed to be relationship religion. And we think that we are living within the fulfillment of what Jesus came to do when you go to church on a Sunday. You don't. It's when you connect with God in your heart and you live fully for Him in everything you do and say. It's when you live a surrendered lifestyle. That's why this morning in the worship I said, let's just lift our hands together to the Lord and just surrender once again. If Jesus is alive to you, the evidence of that will be clearly visible in your life. That means you will have that personal relationship with the Lord where everything revolves around Him. And you know what? You take what He says literally and you build your lives upon the very words that God speaks to us. It's a full surrender to the Spirit of God and He's working in our life. And you can't do that without faith. Now, am I saying that we should neglect getting together as believers? Absolutely not. As we get together here in the service this Sunday morning, it's great getting together. Get together as much as we can. That's why we have home groups or home fellowships. That's why in other times we'll get together and share meals and visit, etc. Why? It's important for the fellowship of the believers because we build one another's faith. And there's a cross-pollination that happens in our faith where I challenge Charles and Charles challenges me and Andres and this one and this Graham challenges this one and you challenge this one and, you know, it's that cross-pollination where we encourage one another into a deeper walk with the Lord. But it's important to understand it's not a religious system. That's not what church is all about. To be part of the ecclesia, the called out ones, means intimate relationship. And it's impossible to please the Lord without faith. In fact, the Bible tells us this. It says, without faith, you cannot please God. In fact, the scripture tells us that everything not done by faith is what? Sin. So faith is such a vital component that forms part of our life. If you look at the lifestyle of Jesus and His disciples, go and check, go through the Gospels, you'll find that almost every time Jesus rebuked the disciples, He rebuked them for what? Your lack of? Faith. Oh, you have little faith. Why do you lack? So this just shows us that Faith is a vital component, and for Jesus, it was a determining factor on whether people can please Him or not, or walk with Him or not, or engage in what He has for them in their lives or not. And that's the issue that He had with the disciples. Guys, faith. I tell you what, Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a what? Mustard seed. Have you seen a mustard seed? Have you? It's very small. I've got some at home. It's really tiny. But what does a mustard seed do? It grows into one of the largest trees. Right? It grows. And Jesus said, I tell you what, if you have seed, faith like a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, lift yourself up and cast yourself in the sea. And if you believe in your heart and do not doubt, what you've said will happen. A lot of our reality in life is determined on what we believe and what we speak. That's why I did that whole session the other day on the importance of our words, because the scripture tells us that, what are in your words? The power of death and life. That you can either destroy your life or build your life, destroy the lives of other people, or bless the lives of other people based on your words. That's why I wrote the book, The Power of Your Words. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And the thing is, if you believe in your heart and you speak the word, it changes our reality. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. The question is, what is faith then? It's very important, because if we say that without faith we can't please God, you have to understand what faith is. So let's look at that, and I'm not going to go into too much detail this morning. There's so much that I can speak about faith and give you examples, really practical examples from Scripture, that it just opens up a whole new dimension and world to you pertaining to the whole concept of faith and what God has called us to live by. But I want to give you like an introductory session just to kind of create a hunger in your heart to say, listen, I need to go and search the Scriptures and find this. I need to understand what faith is. Because if Jesus says, without faith, you can't please me, it's so vital that we understand what faith is. Now, look at the scripture, Hebrews 11 verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance, I've put in there assurance in brackets, all right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the sign that the things not seen are true. Just really think about this for a moment. I'm going to give you a couple of seconds. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the sign that things not seen are true. Just think about that. It's very deep. It really is. Now let's look at the Greek a little bit and just kind of analyze the scripture. The Greek there, pistis, of course, is the word that's used for faith. In the first one there, faith, all right? And it means your persuasion, all right? Your belief system, what you believe to be true, your persuasion in life. When it says your faith or your persuasion in life or your belief system is the substance or the insurance, the Greek word there means literally for substance is a setting under or a support. It's the placing under or the foundation, that which is firm. In other words, your persuasion in life is the substance. It's the foundation. It's what forms the foundation under you of the things that you hope for. All right? And the signs that the things not yet seen are true. Now, there's an interesting scripture, Habakkuk 2:4. You might know this very well. In fact, Habakkuk 2:4 is almost a central theme of the book of Romans that Paul wrote. And if you go and study history, the whole reformation of Martin Luther was based on this scripture. The just will live by faith. We are justified through our faith in believing God. All right? This triggered the whole reformation. All right? And this is what Paul writes about extensively in the book of Romans. That we are declared righteous, in other words, in right standing with God, through our faith. It's not through rituals. It's not through anything else except through what you believe about God and what you believe is true and how you live according to that belief. It's what you, your persuasion in life, all right, that forms the foundation of your life upon which you build and that makes that which is impossible possible in your life. But the righteous, in other words, the just, those who live in a relationship with God, shall live by his faith. The word faith, let's take a look at that. There's the scripture in Hebrew, if you can read that. The word faith there is the word emunah. And the root word for emunah is the word aman. It's where we get our word amen from. Why do we close a prayer to say amen? Who knows? Have you ever thought about it? Lord, we thank you for this and we pray that you'll provide. And thank you for this. Thank you for the breakthrough in Jesus' name. Amen. Why do you say amen? So be it. It's the root word for the word emunah, which is faith. In other words, you close your prayer with a seal that says that we believe what we have just prayed will come to being. The things that we don't see yet, all right? It's this faith is the substance of the things you're not seeing. Okay? The things that we're not seeing yet, that we're trusting you for, Lord, we believe that it's going to be like that. And we believe it so much that we seal it now with our faith and to say, amen. Because aman, your faith is the seal upon the prayer that says it will come to be. So amen is not just a nice gesture to close off a prayer. It actually has got meaning. Now, interestingly enough, the word aman appears in a number of Hebrew words in modern and biblical. Now, let me explain to you how Hebrew work. Hebrew is a root language. Semitic language, and it's a root language. And how it works is, there are certain root words, and from this root word stem other words. You'll have a word, and then they add a prefix or a suffix, and it changes the meaning a little bit, and then it becomes either a noun or a verb, or you can put it within this context, etc. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Right? Aman, faith, the concept of faith, all right, the root word for faith, we find it in the word omanet. It's the word to nurse. And you'll read about that in the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 16. Omanet, to nurse. In other words, to get someone back to a good state. Someone is sick. We believe that if we do this, we're going to get them healthy again. It's the concept of faith. To be transformed from a position of sickness to health. So what does the nurse do? How many of you have had experience in nursing? The concept of the nurse is, the person is sick, and we need to take them from a state of sickness to a place of health. So we are already envisioning the health, or working towards the process of health, even though we're not there, but we're starting with it. That's why aman, faith, that's like the process of faith, to get them from this point to that point, is the root word one of the root words for nurse. Interestingly, in Hebrew, omanet. Omanot. It's the word for pillar, all right? Pillar, or a supporter, or a door. You know, 2 Kings 18, verse 16. The word amen that we've looked at, let it so be, or it is stable, or trustworthy, or everlasting. When you say amen, it's this prayer, it's trustworthy, it's everlasting. It will be established. And we believe so much that what we've prayed is going to happen, we seal it with our faith, amen. Amen also, it's the root word for emet, which is truth. The word for truth in Hebrew, emet. That which is unshakable, permanent, undestroyable, and everlasting. Amen is also the root word, of course, that we've looked at the root word for the word emunah, which means to be stable, secure, full of faith, faithful, or loyal. So, the whole focus of faith is on the concept that we are secure, firm, stable in what we believe. Okay, that's the concept of that. The question is, how did the biblical writers understand emunah? Because if I say to you, listen, you must have faith, a lot of us are going to have various ideas on what faith is. You know what's the big thing that we often do? We confuse faith and hope. Hope and faith is not the same thing. Neither is faith and wishful thinking or positive thinking. It's not the same thing. Faith is connected with your spirit man. And it manifests in and through your soul outward. Okay? It's a spiritual component, faith. So by just saying, oh, I hope it will rain, I hope it will rain, whatever. It's just, that's not faith. Faith is only faith when you believe it with all of your heart and you begin to put your life in line with what you actually believe. That's why the word faith in Hebrew is what? A verb. It's something you do. In fact, Hebrew is a verb language. Yes, there's nouns and all of that stuff, but it's very strong on verb. It's not so much descriptive as it is, what must we do? What is the purpose of life? The Greeks thinks very often, if you look at Greek concept and ideas and the difference between Greek culture and biblical Hebraic culture, is that the Greek would say, what does it look like? What does it look like? The Hebrew will ask you, what does it do? What's its purpose? So I say, listen, I've got a pen. The Greek Western mindset will say, a pen, what color is it? What does it look like? Is it long? Is it short? Is it metal? Or is it, what is it? The Hebrew will ask you, listen, you've got a pen. What are you going to do with it? So the thing is, in the Bible, the biblical author's concept of faith is always to do with action. If your faith, this is very important, you have to hear me here. If your faith does not involve action, it's not biblical faith. It's wishful thinking. It's hope. It's positive confession. It's not faith. Faith is a verb, which means that when you believe something, your life is aligned with the very thing that you believe. Unless there is an aligning with your life in what you believe, biblically it's not faith. Most Christians believe, oh, we have faith for this, we have faith for this. Then I ask, okay, what have you done to journey towards this thing? No, no, nothing. But I have faith that God can do that. Yes, everyone has got faith that even the devil knows God can do a lot of things. But he's not saved. And he will not be saved. And just because you believe God can do something, that's not necessarily the faith you need to please God. Demons know that God can do the impossible. But does that make them righteous? No. The thing is, unless you have a faith that comes from your spirit man and that believes what God says about himself and about what he can do, and you align yourself with what you believe, biblically it's not faith. Faith is always action. Let me give you an example. I have, for example, through the years, and I'm going to use this, I apologize because I've used an example of my trips to Israel, I think 2 weeks ago, and I don't want to overdo it, but I just want to, just to give a practical example. There was, over the years, I've had so many people that said, listen, I want to go with you. And I said, okay, what you do is, you do the following. You go to your work, you put in leave. All right. I said to him, do you really believe God wants you to go? Yes, I believe God wants me to go. I said, okay, go to your work, put in leave. Then what you do is, you register, and I'm going to book your flight. You don't have to pay now, all right? I'm going to book your flight, and then we're going to do this and this and this and this. Okay, that's the first step. And then he says, but I don't have money. I said, but that's not an issue. Don't worry about that. That's nothing. Do you believe that God wants you to go? Yes. Okay, then align yourself with what you believe God has told you to do. In other words, what are the first steps? The first step is not to get money to do the project. The first step to do is to walk in obedience according to the revelation that you already have. And what revelation do you have? I need to go. So, you've told me you want to go. I'm telling you the next step is, okay, register and put in your leave. So this one man came to me and he said he believes God said he needs to go, he needs to go. I said to him, okay, do the following. And I gave him the basic guidelines. 2 weeks later, I see him at a function. I said to him, hey, have you put in your leave? No, not yet, but I'll do it. I haven't put in the leave yet. I said, okay. I left it. A week or two later, again, I saw him. I said to him, you haven't registered yet for the tour. You know, I haven't seen, do you believe you have to go? No, I believe God wants me to go. I said to him, but why haven't you registered and why haven't you put in your leave? He said, no, I'm just waiting for God to give me the money and then I'll do that. And I said to him, listen, I guarantee you, you will not go on the tour. I guarantee you. And he was upset. He said to me, how can you say that? I'm just waiting for God to provide the money and then I will go. I said to him, you won't go. I guarantee you, you won't go. Because you don't understand faith. You've got unbelief and disbelief that about the mere fact that God told you, you have to go and you're not taking the first step. The miracle that awaits you down the line, which is the provision of the income, is not going to happen. Why? Because you don't activate the first step. You don't align your life with truth. Emunah, faith, is a verb. It's not about what you know what God can do. It's how you act upon what you believe God can do. So, needless to say, God never provided him the money. And we left without him. I saw him the following year again. He said, oh, he really wants to go. I said to him, you want to go? You believe God spoke to you? He said, yes, I have to go this year. I said to him, you know what you want to do? Go put in your leave and register. It's now 10 years later. He still hasn't gone. Because faith is action, which means that if you are trusting God, if you believe God has called you to do something, you have to start stepping out in the direction of what God has called you to. Now, faith is never passive. Faith is always active. It can happen in your life that God lays something on your heart and you know that you're going to do that, but it's not the timing. And then you go into a time of waiting, but it's an active wait. People think, I often meet Christians, and they say that, oh, I'm waiting on the Lord. But they're on a passive wait. The waiting on God sometimes become an excuse because we don't have the faith to pursue God in what He has called us to do. And then it's like we're waiting on God. And it sounds so spiritual. It sounds so lovely. Oh, this brother's got faith. He's waiting on God. I'm not saying that we don't wait on God. There's times that we have to wait on God. The thing is just this. How are you waiting? Is it an active wait? In other words, I'm waiting for the Lord to release me, but I'm aligning my life according to what God has called me to do. I know I'm going to do this. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm speaking the life into this. If God says to me, now, I'm ready to take action. But God didn't give me the now word. So I'm just waiting for the Lord to release it and give me the now word. But until He does, I'm waiting on Him, but I'm ready. You're like a horse that's ready for a race, and it's like any time. You're like an athlete at the Olympics that's ready for the 100-meter dash, and it's like everything is ready, it's warmed up, and it's like, take your marks, get set. But people think, I'm waiting on God. What are you doing? Oh, I'm waiting on the Lord. The Bible says, wait on the Lord. So I'm waiting on the Lord. Waiting for what? No, I'm trusting the Lord. I need to start a new business. And I'm just waiting for the Lord to provide. You see, sometimes because we don't understand what faith is, we confuse faith with actually unbelief in our lives. And then we ask God, why are you not coming through for me? Why are you not providing? Why is this not happening? Why is that not happening? Because God says to you, but you don't have faith. It's with the disciples. The disciples knew Jesus could do all these things. But did you align yourself with it? When Peter stepped over the boat and he walked on the water, you know what Peter did? He believed that if Jesus says he can do it, he can do it. And he aligned himself with it and he walked. And as soon as he looked at the waves, he started to disalign him or unalign him. What do you say? Misalign. Okay? He stepped out of the aligning of the faith and he sank. Sometimes we sink because we're not aligned with the purposes of God and our faith is not active, it's passive. So even if you wait on God, I've had to wait on God many times, but folks, it's active. It's active. If faith doesn't go over to action and deeds, it's not biblical faith. Now, listen to this. That is why, if you go and read the book of James, James speaks a lot about works. If you read it, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith through my works. And he speaks about faith all the time and works all the time. So much so that Martin Luther wanted to leave the book of James. He said, the book of James should never have been put in the Bible because it focused so much on works, 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 works. And we are not part of under the law. We are under grace and whatever. And he said, they made a mistake. The council, when they included it in the canon, it should not have been there. But you know why? It's because it's a misunderstanding of what faith is. James understood faith. Because what is faith? It's an action verb. It's something that I need to do. It's aligning of my life according to what I believe. And if God says, it's time to do this, I step out and I align myself. If God says, listen, I want you to go on a mission trip to China. God, it's fine. When is the date? This date. I'm putting in my leave. How are you going to pay? I don't know, but I'm taking the first action step. You have to start a business. Okay, I'm doing this. What are you going to do? I don't have the money yet. What, so what are you doing? I'm printing business cards. I'm getting my letterheads ready. I'm doing the website so long because that's cheap. I can do that. And I'm doing this, but I'm still waiting for the $1 million investment, but I'm aligning myself with what I believe God has told me to do. And as you do that step, you know how many times I've done that? You know how many times I've had nothing and I'm printing business cards and drawing up documents and opening bank accounts and whatever, and there's nothing. And then 6 months or a year down the line, God comes and He provides and I can do it. What did I do? I activated my faith. I could sit back and say, oh, I'll do it when the money comes. And God says, oh man, I want to respond to faith. Faith causes God to respond. All right? Faith causes God to take action on our behalf and to command. Faith brings us in alignment with the very purposes and will of God. And so we wait and we wait and we wait and we do. And we have wishful thinking. And we have all these nice spiritual things that we're, okay, oh, I'm trusting the Lord. Oh, I'm waiting on the God. I'm doing this, whatever. But actually, it's just unbelief in disguise. But it sounds good. Right? It's unbelief in disguise. And James knew that faith is action. That's why he said, if you want to look at someone's faith, go and look at their lives. I'll show you that I've got faith through what I do. If there's an impossible thing, come and look at my life. I'll realign myself with the purposes of God. And people say, this is great. What is this? It's believing the things that are not yet as if they are already. And you're living that reality. And that becomes the reality as you're walking with the purposes of the Lord. How many times have I been in the place and have I seen believers and those who are called upon the name of the Lord, they trust God for something and it's like an impossibility to do. But they trust God and they believe God and they go on. And you know what God does? Later it manifests, it happens in their life. And God changes everything. It's to walk by faith. That's why the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Unless you get your life in action and take steps of what you believe God has called you to do and what is biblical truth, you cannot please God. It's action. Faith is action. And that is why James says, I'll show you my faith through my works. Because it's aligning yourself with the truth and the purposes of God. Listen to this. I want to read you this paragraph from the book that was written by Dr. Marvin R. Wilson about faith. And he was a professor of biblical theological studies at Gordon College in Massachusetts in the U.S. Listen to this. To the Hebrew mind, therefore, faith meant confidence. It was the capacity to enter life with courageous expectation. The person of faith did more than just believe in his heart or develop an attitude of trust. In other words, the person of faith stepped out into life to act on that belief. His mental assurances and his convictions were transformed into actions. For the Hebrew, faith was more than a theory. It was wed to a life of service. Indeed, the Hebrew could serve God through work. He knew that God was always met in history in the context of events, in the world of activity and doing. The person of faith was one who was so committed to God that, like Abram, he ventured into the unknown with a full expectation that God would meet him there. Thus, in the biblical sense, to have faith was to move out of life and know God would be there waiting for you. It was the call to step boldly into tomorrow, to embrace the new with confidence that every new day would prove to be a meeting place with the one and only eternal God. Biblical faith though conscience of heaven operates in and is only at home in the realm of flesh and blood. This biblical quality of faith has the possibility of transforming this life so that those thereby changed may attain, by God's grace, of the life to come. Listen to this, James 2:16. It says, "And one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and full of food,' but you do not give them the things of which their body have need. What profit is there in this? Even so, faith without works is dead." Have you ever wondered why the Bible says faith without works is dead? Because faith is a verb. It's what you do. That's why you can please God by doing what God has called you to do in your occupation. You can please God by stepping out in what God is leading you to do in whatever you do. And even if you see people that there's a need, and you say, "Listen, God bless you, I will pray for you." It's not faith. Faith is action. James says, what profit is that? Faith without works is dead. But a man may say, "You have faith and I have works. So let me see your faith without your works, and I will make my faith clear to you by my works." All right? James was very wise in what he said. Listen to this. Faith apprehends as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I'm going to read this again. Faith apprehends as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. In other words, what you can see, touch, feel, taste, smell. It rests on the fact, it acts upon it, and is upheld by it in the face of all that seems to contradict it. Faith is the real seeing. Faith supports you in life. It helps to establish your life so that you become unshakable. It gives permanency to it. So it focuses on firmness, stability, support, and trustworthiness. Working faith reveals heaven's reality on earth. We don't understand what faith is, and it contributes towards our lives not achieving what God has destined us for. How are you saved? Through rituals? Are you saved through sacrifices? You're saved through faith in what Jesus did. In other words, this is what I close with. If I say that I'm a Christian, if I say that I believe in Jesus Christ, I have faith in Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus, then my life needs to be aligned and active in what I say I believe. Unless your life has evidence that you believe that Jesus died for you, rose again, and that eternal life is found in Him and in Him alone, you are not activating the faith that saves you. You have to believe it. In other words, the way that you live your life, conduct yourself, what you do, how you do it, how you interact with people, must be a reflection of what you believe. That's why the Bible says, a tree is known by its fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. If we say we are believers in the Lord, where's the evidence? The problem is, if you look at the lives of most Christians, there's no evidence. You don't know, are they saved or unsaved? You know what? In biblical times, if you look at the New Testament church, it was so radically different. The believers versus the world. It was so radically, radically different that everyone spoke about that. Today, unfortunately, Christianity is not radically different. It's so blended into the world that we don't know, do they have faith or not? Do these people actually believe what they say they believe? Because if I believe that Jesus is the King, my life will prove it. I will align my life with that. My actions, my deeds, my relationships, everything will be influenced by that fact. And I will align my life with that truth. You are saved through faith. Abram was justified and declared righteous by God through his faith. We are declared justice and righteous before God because of our faith. In other words, I believe that Jesus is the King. I believe that He's my Savior. And therefore, I surrender my life to that. And I allow that reality to influence my life in the here and in the now. And I live for Him with all of my heart. To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. If you do that, you are living within the reality of biblical faith. So remember, emunah, it's action, it's verb, something we do. Go now and look at your life and say, where have I applied wishful thinking in my journey with God? Where have I know things about the Lord, but the thing is, do I have faith that God can achieve these things that I read about? Do I have faith? Am I life aligned with it? It's a great challenge. I'm telling you, it's a massive, massive, massive challenge. But if you know that God is already waiting for you in tomorrow, and you're not alone, when you He's already there waiting. For the next step, wherever you're going after the service, God is already waiting. You're never alone. Live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by their faith. Okay? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for biblical faith. We thank you, God, that you have called us, that our faith is to see the things that are not yet as if they are already. To live our lives in the reality of what we believe is going to be true and what's going to happen. To live our lives now within the reality of the age to come. Lord, to trust you, to love you with all of our hearts, and to demonstrate the power of salvation to those around us. To pull heaven's reality to earth. And to live that reality where we are here. And now, and I want to pray for each and every one of us. If you're sitting here this morning, I want to pray for you that God will make clear in your understanding. It's not just your mind, within your spirit man, that your spirit man will be activated and become alive in the Lord. To see the purposes of God. To step out and believe God, because God connects with your spirit. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And Father, I want to pray for all of us this morning that you will help to activate our hearts. Maybe where our spirits are so dormant and we are so led by the things of the flesh and our carnal mind and all of that. God, I pray that we will operate within the very mind of Christ. That your life-giving spirit, God, will take us into deeper depths, higher heights in you. We thank you for an activation in our spirit man to trust you, believe you, and know that you are who you say you are. You can do what you say. And we want to end this off by saying, God, amen. Let it be established. Let we live our lives daily believing and aligning our lives with what we know about you to be true and believe about you to be true. And even if we don't see it, God, our faith is the evidence that it will happen. Our faith is the evidence that it will happen. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join me again for another edition of the Brunken Weekly Report and podcast. For more information or additional resources, visit me on the web at brunken.net. Till next time, take care.